series of called From the Ashes, Embracing the Full Life of God. This series is going to lead us right up to include Resurrection Sunday. So this is going to be a six-part series leading up to that day. Our lives can sometimes feel like, you know, like a bucket of ashes, right? We're disappointed kind of broken, shattered, our lives destroyed. However, the good news is that Jesus' life, death, resurrection is that we can experience, he came so that we could experience a new life in him. Our lives, no matter how they were before, no matter how shattered or broken they were before, you are not beyond repair. I'm telling you, I'm living proof. Maybe I know the rest of you, you know, you never had anything like that, right? I mean, you never had any problems. You've always been like yippity-doo-dah, skippity-day, however that song goes, right? But me, I was broken. And he said, oh, I can fix that. He can fix you. In and through Christ, you can rise above the ashes and experience abundant life. I'm experiencing abundant life right now. I trust that you are too, an abundant life. But this isn't a series about the broken and shattered. This is not just for those folks. It's for everyone. I trust that everyone will be able to glean something from what will be shared within these next few weeks. A better understanding, a better knowledge of Jesus Christ. Each week we're going to look at one aspect of Jesus' life and ministry during his time while he was here walking like each and every one of us. And so this week we begin with the conversation of temptation, all right? Temptation, that's why I put all those chocolates everywhere and I told you not to eat them. It was tempting last night when I was placed and I opened up the big bag and I could smell these chocolates. I'm like, and I didn't eat one, I'm telling you. It was tempting though. I think most of us know that preceding Jesus' ministry, he after spending 40 days of solitude, of fasting, he was tempted. And I tell you, now, what a time to test somebody once you've gone through 40 days of fasting, not eating. Can you imagine going through that period of time of not having anything to eat? And as an added bonus, the person who was overseeing the temptation, the one who was tempting Jesus Christ, was none other than Satan himself. I can't imagine what it'd be like and how Jesus felt and how he would overcome. So we begin today with a look into this season, Jesus' season, when he was going through this temptation and how each of us can also be encouraged, all right? So let's pray this in prayer. Father God, I know that we are not immune, not one of us is immune from temptations, the temptations of life. God, you remind me of how you feel about me, how you protect me, how you didn't discard me, and how you made us new. So, Father, I pray that this morning and through your word, we see through Jesus' example of how to deal with temptation. In your name I pray, amen. So the first and foremost today, we need to acknowledge temptation will be experienced in all lives. We're all going to be tempted. We all experience temptations sometimes. Sometimes every day we face a temptation. No one is immune from the desires to have things or to do things that aren't necessarily aligned with the ways of Jesus Christ. Maybe temptation comes in a form that seems innocent. Maybe it's something as simple as, hey, you know, I'm at work. Let me check out my Facebook account. That's not the place you're supposed to do that unless you're working for them, right? Or maybe it's like, you know what? This place has thousands of pins. They don't care, right? You go home, you see that you have just as many pins at home as you do at work. Maybe it's just shaving off a couple bucks off your tax, what you report. And believe me, when I say that the temptations and desires behind these actions, they start to grow into bigger things, all right? They start off small in the beginning, but they start to get bigger, and they can manifest themselves in a way that can lead to broken marriages, broken relationships, ministries going down the tube. It does us no good to pretend like we are immune from temptation or to think that we can handle things on our own. If listen to what First John says about this walking light. We all, this is good. We all have sinned. We say we have no sin. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Today, let's begin by confessing and acknowledging that we deal with temptation in our lives, and that there are times when we follow temptations down paths that are not good. So, how do we manage temptation? How do we respond to temptation? How do we model the fortitude and endurance that Jesus had during those times? First, the first thing I have to say is that it begins with your identity. Who are you? Who are you? And I know that I've been, seems like the last few conferences I've been at, it's all about identity. All about identity. Who are you? And so before we look at this in chapter 4, we need to talk about the event that immediately preceded those 40 days before Jesus started his ministry and was into dealing with this temptation. So if you will, turn with me to Matthew 3, 13 through 17. And it's a very familiar passage. It's one where Jesus is being baptized. And it begins, I'm going to begin at verse 13. Matthew, that's why I'm in John. I can't find it. All right. Matthew 3, I even tabbed it out. Okay, so verse 13, it starts at verse 13, chapter 3. Then Jesus went from Galilee to Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done for me. But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. Verse 16, after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And the voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. I think a lot of us are more familiar with that, the ending of that passage when it says, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. I know that resonates with a lot of people reading this text. But the baptism of Christ is an incredible, significant moment, and for many reasons. But for this morning, I just want to focus on verse 17 where it says, This is my beloved son who I am well pleased. There's nothing like getting that affirmation from your earthly parents, right? They're saying, man, I like what you're doing. I'm proud of you. Right? Who? No, notice it. God the Father didn't say, good. You know, after he comes over, good. Now go and fulfill your destiny on earth. Nor did he say, oh, this is my son. Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you, all right? You know, he didn't say that. He said, you're my son. I'm pleased with you. And he just said simply, you're my son. And we know God loves his son and is pleased with him. This is Christ's identity. He is the beloved son of God. That's who he is. Identity. And this is such a powerful reality that when Jesus is drawn into the wilderness for this very first thing that Satan tries to call him into question, what's the first thing that Satan tries to tempt him with? Like, who are you? He questions his identity. That the tempter says in Matthew 4, he said he came out and said, if you are the Son of God. I could go on about that, but I'm not. Okay, so for Jesus, the tempter said, if you are a son of God, that's how he tempted Jesus. How did he tempt Eve? Oh, in the garden, he said, did God really say that? The tempter said that. And so what does the tempter's voice sound like to you? Does it sound like if you are really a Christian, you wouldn't? Or if you really love God, or if you were only more like XYZ, you see that Satan's tempting you like that. The question may be different for either one of us, but the motive is to get us to start doubting who we are. Satan's like, are you not really that? Really? Let me say this. When dealing with temptation, always remember who you are and whose you are. Hello. I want to repeat this, all right? I am a beloved child of the God Most High. One more time. Say, I am a beloved child of the God Most High. Eat your chocolate. Go ahead. Eat your chocolate. You've been having that right there staring at you long enough. I was going to have you open it up and just have it sit open, and then you can smell it, all right? Okay, all right. Enjoy that chocolate, all right? We're gonna do these. Look at these things three P's, all right? Of this temptation and what Jesus was going through. When we look at our Bibles, we look at Matthew, the fourth chapter, verses 3-4. That's where I'm going to start at. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are a son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Have you ever been hungry? Have you ever been hungry? I know that in the military, it seems like that's the first thing they try to make you do. Go hungry, all right? You're like SEER school or Ranger school, or there's one other one. But, you know, there's these schools that are like, you're hungry. And sometimes when you get hungry, you become hangry, all right? Okay? So I'm just talking about hungry. You look at something, you're like, I don't know what that is, but I think I can eat that. I mean, I've been there. I've been in four countries, and I'm like, we were supposed to be resupplied. We didn't get resupplied. It was supposed to drop, and it didn't happen. And we're like, man, that I think we can eat that, you know. That's how hungry I have been. I don't know how hungry you have ever been, but the thing is, Jesus Christ, you know, he had to be hungry 40 days. 40 days with no food. I can imagine how famished Jesus must have been after 40 days. And Satan knows. He goes, you've heard it say, you know, don't kick a man when he's down. Satan is like, that's the best time to kick you is when you're down. He doesn't have any rules of engagement. And that's why he attacked Jesus then. He goes, oh, Jesus is hungry. I'll come to him right now and I'll tempt him with, oh, if you are the Son of Man, and if you're all of that, then hey, just have some bread. Mix, you know, go ahead. Honestly, if I had the ability to turn stones into something, it wouldn't be a piece of bread. It'd be like a cheeseburger or a Hot Pocket, something like that. My grandson loves Hot Pockets. How difficult it would be to stay true after 40 days. But aside from the cheeseburgers and all of that, what was really going on here? What was the underlying need Satan was trying to manipulate? The need Jesus had that we all share is the need for provisions. We need some things. It was food in Jesus' case, but it also can come in other forms. It can come in forms of finances. It can come in forms of clothing, a place to live in. This lady yesterday came by. She was telling me about this woman. Her name is Jennifer, and she's just in a bad way. She didn't have a place. She didn't have a place. She needed something. She needed a place to stay. However, in all these things, we look to God Most High, a benevolent creator, the creator of the cosmos, who can provide anything and everything. In your love letter here from God, here's a couple of verses. Philippians 4:19, it says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Matthew 6:26 reads, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Let that sink in a little bit, huh? He takes care of them, but he values us so much more. Why wouldn't he take care of you? Psalms 23:1. You know that one, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A good shepherd will always supply the needs for his flock. A good father supplies the needs for his kids. When we have a good shepherd, a good father, we can trust our needs will be met. All this to say, giving up the physical desires of the flesh reminds us that the only provisions we need comes from the hands of our Heavenly Father. God can be trusted, and his word is what gives us life. Not food, not finances, not clothes, not new kicks, right? It is him that gives us life. Okay, so from provision, we go to our second P, protection. Protection, all right? And we read in Matthew 4, keep on going, verses 5 through 7, and then the devil took him to the holy city and set him up on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Still attacking his identity. He's relentless, right? Throw yourself down, for it is written, and this is where it's written at, Psalms 91:12. I'll get back to this. He will not command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the ground. Jesus said to him, this is found in Deuteronomy 6:16. Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. The second temptation of Jesus seems to be focused more on inviting Jesus of whether he can be protected, that whether his heavenly Father can protect his son. Jesus, having confidence in the care and concern for his well-being by God, shall shall no need do so such a foolish thing. He's like, I don't have to jump off of anything to prove that my Father will protect me. Are you kidding me? That's borderline dumb. Why am I going to do that? But if we often feel tempted to do foolish things, have we not? I know I'll get an amen from the women. Are there times when your husband's about to do something, you're like, no, don't do that. that's ungood. That's men are laughing because they know that I'm telling the truth. We know that we will be protected by Him. He will protect us. He can work all things for good. Yes, He is an omnipotent God. He's an omnipotent God. Everywhere. Taking care of everything. But sometimes you simply need to say, when you hear that voice saying, just to say, you know, say no. When a thought comes in your mind that's not Christ-like, and that happens to me, a thought will come to mind, and I'm like, and I know that's not a good thing to be thinking about. And what I do, I just start singing a hymn. I love to tell the story. And the minute I do that, it's like I've foiled Satan's attempt to drag me in a direction that I don't need to go. That's all you got to do. Say no. Say scripture. Sing a song that honors our Heavenly Father. And that thought goes away. It works for me every time. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and our and strength and present, a very present help in trouble, help in trouble. Provision, protection. Now, third one is position. Position. Carrying on from the fourth chapter, verses 8 through 11. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, this is in 1 Samuel 7:3, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him, ministering to Jesus. The third and final temptation is for Jesus to worship Satan. And in doing so, if he worship him, he's promised him dominions over the kingdoms of the world. This is the thing. I just can't help but think that Jesus say, you're going to promise me the kingdoms of the world? Hello, do you know who created the world? Do you not know that I put the stars into place? Come on. I know I haven't eaten for 40 days, but I'm not that far detached. It seems like an easy temptation position. I know that some are like, oh, if I only had that position. We are often given choice to worship something other than God in order to achieve a worldly position. You know, I just, you know, those that, you know how it is in the corporate world or in the military. You're just striving to get that next rank, right? In the military, I look, man, I'm tired of being a PFC, private first class, all right, or seaman first class. You know, you're ready to be, you know, a sergeant major, or maybe you want to be a colonel, or you just want to get there any way you can. But those things, I'm telling you, They fall short. They fall short. The significance that comes to like to worshiping and wanting to be something in a position that's temporary, that's temporal, as opposed to being a child of God, having that position, knowing that's forever and ever. We too much choose to worship God alone and trust in the significance that can only come in a relationship with Him. And I've got to trust that each of you here, whether you're listening here or in this sanctuary, that when you have a relationship with Him, how much more significant it is with any other relationship you've ever had. And as a beloved son or daughter of the Most High King, you will inherit an eternal kingdom, and it cannot be shaken. Oftentimes we forget to look past this reality as believers and get distracted by the world. We're like, we get distracted by the here and now instead of what the Father has prepared for us. The best is yet to come. I'm telling you. You don't have to believe me. It's in here. The best is yet to come. He makes promises in here. He's made promises that He's never broken. He's trustworthy. When we're feeling tempted in this area, try to keep things in perspective, all right? Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added to you." There's that little song we just sing. Some of you remember that? Do you remember singing that song? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Remember that song? He was here first. One of the glaring things, did you notice this tug of war or this temptation? What was the consistent theme during this conversation between Satan and Jesus? Is there something that you noticed during this conversation that was consistent in all three of those temptations? Come on. I kind of even told you where it was found in the old covenant, right? Every answer that Jesus gave was from the Word. Every answer. It wasn't, and some would say, well, okay, Jesus could say, you know, but you know what? If you look at within the first three verses of John, the first chapter, he says, "I am the Word." All right? So, and even Satan himself, he knew the Word. Come on. Satan knows the Word too. I hope that's not a newsflash for any of you. He will use the Word to try to twist things. To make you think, well, okay, well, maybe it is okay. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, and piercing as far as divisions of soul and spirit, for both joint and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." That's a sharp sword. If you've done any butchering, a knife that can do all of that with no problem, that's sharp. So is His Word. I just want you during these next 6 weeks to devote time leading up to the celebration that we'll have in 6 weeks. And I want you to be thinking and praying about the person that you're going to invite that day. And have more than one. Because maybe the first person is going to say, "Hey, I'm going to another church." Okay, all right. As long as you're going somewhere. I have to be careful how I say that. But be ready to invite someone else. Be ready to invite someone else. I want to give you some questions to work out this week, all right? And so be husbands and wives, your families, work these out. Ask these questions, all right? And that first question is, how would you describe temptation in your own words? How do you know when you are being tempted? All right. Number two, what is a practical way to anticipate temptation? How could that anticipation increase your rate of a successful outcome? And just letting you know, I printed this out for you. All right. So you don't have to. Okay. Just helping you out. Helping a brother out. Okay. All right. So, and I hope to have these questions on our app this week. I just got to figure out how to do it, all right? Okay, the third question is, how can you identify being rooted in Christ help you overcome temptation, all right? Number four, why is it easy to be tempted to trust yourself rather than God for all your needs? Wow. Okay. What are some areas where it is difficult? Question number five, why is living a reckless life such a affront to God? Number six, why is significance so important to feeling like we are living life? Part B to that, where do you think that needs to come from? The last question is, what is one thing you could say no in order to say yes to something so much better? All right, these are the questions that I want you to ponder. I want you to go through. All right. Make no mistake. Come on, team. Make no mistake. The tempter, he's going to be there, and he's going to be with us because this is the season, because it's going to lead up to the Holy Week. And right now, of all times, Satan is working overtime. He's calling all of his forces, like saying, okay, come on, we got to get busy. Didn't you just hear that pastor say, hey, invite friends? He's going to invite some of the people we've been working on, all right? Definitely doesn't matter what your faith and knowledge and what your faith and knowledge to grow. We want our faith and knowledge to grow in a way that is not necessarily honoring to saying, well, I know this and I know that, but honoring God in a way that says, reading his word in a way that says, I'm doing this not to get brownie points, not to get a Scooby snack. I'm doing this to have a closer relationship with my Savior. That's why I'm in his word. Because I want to get closer to him. As the Bible say, when we get closer to him, he draws nearer to you. I hope that's what you want. Right? I want that. I want that for you. And even more than me, he wants that. And what this story tells us this morning is, and this is what, he came down to be a servant, and he came down to prove that, to set the example and saying, if I did it, so can you. So can you. Father God, this morning, I pray with all my heart that each and every one of us would draw closer to you, that the tempter would not have his way, that we would keep the tempter at bay, saying, not today, I don't have time for you. I've got to get into the Word. I pray that is our mindset this week. And the weeks following, Father, keep us strong, I pray. You are our refuge, as your word says. In your name I pray. Amen.